You to worship with you. Worship the Lord Jesus Christ, worship the Holy Spirit, worship the Father, the three in one. My wife Vicki is able to be with us today, so she's here as well, and we are glad to be here. Pray for your pastor and wife as they travel. Also pray for the family for the funeral. As they, these days, have memories and so forth, reflect as they mourn and so forth, and show your support, continue to pray for them, and so forth. I titled a message this morning, Dealing with Your Own Questions and Problems. I'm reminded that at a church gathering, someone stacked a pile of apples at one end of a table, and they had a sign that said, "Take only one apple, please. God is watching." At the other end of the table, there was a pile of cookies. And a teenager, well, you would imagine a teenager put a note there. I'm not sure he made cookies, but he put a note there and said, "Take all the cookies you want. God is watching the apples." You know, in life, we go through struggles. Have you ever felt sometimes that perhaps God is so busy, perhaps watching, as it were, the apples, that he lost sight of what you're going through and you? In life, with its guaranteed struggles, have you ever asked God why? I have many times have asked God why. Why? Listen to these human beings. Moses once said, "If this is how you're going to treat me, then just let me die." Moses, a great man of God, whom God used greatly with his people. Moses said that. "If this is how you're going to treat me, then just let me die." Jeremiah, "Why did you even let me be born?" Elijah, one of my heroes of the faith, Elijah said, "I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me. Just let me die." These are real people. When you go through very, very difficult times and you cry out to God, why? I want you to remember these people. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm 10. Psalm 10. It doesn't say who the author is. I assume it's probably David. But it doesn't give us who the author is. But Psalm 10. C.S. Lewis said this, "Reading Psalm 10 is like opening the door of an oven that is set at 500 degrees. You immediately get hit full in the face with the heat of the psalmist's fury." When you're going through times that you cry out to God, why? There are three things that you can do, and that David does in this psalm. Number one, declare your question. Look at verse 1. David says very bluntly, "Why, O Lord, do you stand far away?" Have you ever been through a series of events in your life emotionally? So you felt, why, God, are you standing so far away? David said, "Why, O Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble?" God, you may be personal and you may be powerful, but why am I sensing that you are far, far away? The psalmist expressed his frustration. And may I remind you, the Bible says David is a man after God's own heart. David loved the Lord. David had a wonderful relationship. You think of Psalm 23 and so forth. But we all have personalities, and we all go through struggles, and we react differently. And David cries out, "Why, O Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble?" The Psalms are saturated with these kinds of honest questions. Here's a sample. In Psalm 13, verse 1, the psalmist said, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me?" Psalm 22, verse 1, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from the words of my groaning?" Psalm 42, verse 9. "I say to God, my rock." I like that. "I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy?" Psalm 44, verses 23 and 24. "Awake, O Lord. Why do you sleep?" This is a human being saying this to Almighty God, the living God. "Awake, O Lord, why do you sleep? Rouse yourself. Do not reject us forever. Why do you hide your face and forget our misery and oppression?" Again, I remind you, these are from humans that have a relationship with God but are struggling because of what they're going through, experiencing. When tragedy leaves you teetering, it's not unspiritual to declare your question to God. You can ask God why many times. That's not unspiritual. That's not wrong. He's big enough to hear your cries. Some of you have been rocked by pretty tough stuff. Maybe a person very close to you have died unexpectedly. Perhaps you just recently lost your job. Your children are not living like they should. And this is very stressful to you. Your bills pile up like mountains on your desk. You have great debt. You've just received some health news that's not very promising. Maybe your childhood was filled with more abuse rather than affirmation. Or a series of experiences trials, testings, especially those that go on from day to month, perhaps for years, have piled up. What do you do when you face these questions of why? It's okay to ask questions. In fact, I would suggest it's healthy to ask God why. Why? As believers, we have an avenue of unloading the turmoil of our hearts. I love 1 Peter 5:7. In the NIV, it says, "Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." The New Living Translation says this, "Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares for you." Amen? God is good, but we go through struggles. We go through difficulties. We go through situations that we have no answers for. That doesn't change the fact that God is good. Going back to verse 1, where it says, "Why, O Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble?" I want to point out something that's very, very important about this verse. The psalmist, I think it's probably David, but the psalmist asked directly God the question. The psalmist doesn't just talk to his family members or friends, but the psalmist goes directly to God and says, "Why? Why?" That's very important to recognize. Declare your question. The implication is he doesn't complain to anyone else, but he brings it to God. Job did a very similar thing. Job, if you know anything about Job, it's an amazing person. It's like an avalanche of what happens in the opening chapters of Job. Even his dear wife finally says to Job, "Honey, why don't you simply die?" Job says this in Job 13. When he cries out directly to God, he says, "Why do you hide your face and consider me your enemy?" Your enemy. When you and I go through those times that we ask why, declare the question. Secondly, describe your complaint. Tell God in detail why you feel the way you feel, the why. Give him the details. Describe your complaint. When you're talking to God, don't worry about repeating what you already said. Spell it out. Describe your concern in detail. In Psalm 10, after declaring his question, the psalmist gives a list of the problems. Specifically, he can't understand why the poor are persecuted by the proud. In verses 2 through 11, we find a cluster of words that describe people in need: the weak, the innocent, the victim, the helpless. And then the psalmist in Psalm 10 describes a people who seem to be taking advantage of others. And he says in verse 2 that they are arrogant. Verse 2, they hunt down the weak. They control by their own evil desires. Verse 3, they bless the greedy. In verse 3, he says, they revile or they despise the Lord. They have no time for God, but they seem to be prospering. And they're persecuting the poor and the needy. And God, where are you? In verse 4, they have no room for God in their life. Verse 5, they lead prosperous lives. Verse 5, they sniff at the laws of God. They think things will always go their way. Verse 6, they curse and they lie, the psalmist says. Verse 7, they ambush the innocent. They look for more victims. Verse 9, they crush the helpless. They think God does not see what they are doing. Verse 11. The psalmist, very in detail, describes his complaint to God in prayer as he talks to God. And I say, you and I, when we go through those times, not only ask why, but also describe your complaint in detail to God. Pour out your heart out to him and tell him what you're going through and why you feel the way you do. and so forth. What exactly is bothering you? What makes you so upset at the time? Thirdly, deepen your commitment to God. Amen? Deepen your commitment to God. After he cries out, why? Questions. Then he, as a result of being honest with God, his commitment to the Lord now goes on to the next level. And he says in verse 12, arise, Lord. Lift up your hand, O God. Do not forget the helpless. Deepen your commitment to Almighty God. Arise, Lord. Lift up your hand, O God. Do not forget the helpless. And he reminds himself of two things that he remembers about God. First, he calls to mind God's personality, verse 14. But you, O God, do see trouble and grief. You consider it to take it in hand. The Almighty God is not distant, even though at times he may seem that way. He's not. But because of our personalities, because of our experiences, because of the influences of the world, good and bad, we sometimes struggle. But God is not distant. He's not hiding. He's a personal God who knows your trouble, and he sees your tears. The phrase in verse 14, take it in hand, refers to God's personal involvement and capacity to judge people according to what they have done. We can commit ourselves to God because the last part of verse 14 says, the victim commits himself to you. You are the helper of the fatherless. It's a beautiful description. God's the helper of the fatherless. He takes special interest in those who have deep need. Psalm 34, verse 15 and 16 says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, as ears are attentive to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of those from the earth. It's very similar to Jeremiah. Again, he's one of my heroes of the faith as well. But the book of Lamentations, Jeremiah is filled with asking why to God. And when he gets done with that, it's as if he forces himself, and that's a key thought, he forces himself to think about what is true. What is the foundation? What is reality? Jeremiah forces himself, as it were, in the midst of all those whys, he forced himself to remember what is true. I'll read it. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 19. Jeremiah says, in Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 19, if you want to turn to it, after he asks all those questions, he says in verse 19, I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Those are the next phrase. Yet this I call to mind. I remember what I'm going through and what I've gone through. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall that I've experienced. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassion never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Jeremiah was down, but he was determined to deepen his commitment to Almighty God. The psalmist calls to mind God's personality. Secondly, the psalmist focuses on God's power in verse 16, chapter Psalm 10. The Lord is King forever and ever. Amen. When we ask why, and we have those concerns, we can cry out to God, and God sees what you and I are going through. Because of his personality, his power, we see in verses 17, 18 of Psalm 10. You hear, O Lord, the desire of the afflicted. You encourage them, and you listen to their cry, defending the fatherless and the oppressed. The word hear in that psalm means you give diligent attention. You're not far off. You're with me. And may you strengthen me. The word desire also refers to our longings. God understands our deep desires of our heart. Again, I remind you of some real people, Moses. If this is how you're going to treat me, then just let me die. Jeremiah, why do you even let me be born? Elijah, I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me. Just let me die. David, in Psalm 10, why, O Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? What I'm going to say next is extremely important. The whole issue is the heart is important. The heart is important. As a parent, you still learn with your children the difference that when your children ask why. As a parent, you can discern. Sometimes they ask why because they want more information. Why is this happening? Why, mom and dad? And it's a learning process. And they ask why. And then when they're perhaps teenagers, well, not necessarily teenagers, but other times the children will say why, but they mean in rebellion or anger. Why? It all boils down to the heart. It's not wrong to ask why to God. Let me ask you, when you say why to God, do you always come back to him? Even if it takes you an hour or two or a day or two, do you always come back to your faith in the living God, or do you walk away? I suggest as many Christians over time who have gone through terrible situations, ask God why, and they never return back to him. They walk away. Let me ask you, will you and I ever walk away? My son, Stephen, works at the Children's Hospital of Cincinnati. And he said this 7 years ago. He said, the other day at work, I had a two-hour supervised visitation with a dad and his son. Usually, supervised visitations are anything but interesting. But something was said this time that really caught my attention. The three of us had gone to a nearby park and I walk home. The little boy would run and hop and skip and hold his father's hand. As we passed a construction zone, the wind picked up and blew the chain locking the gating to the fence. The boy was scared and ran ahead. As he ran, he said, Daddy, pick me up. As the dad approached, the boy ran further ahead. Again, he told his dad to pick him up. This happened three times. And then the dad said, how can I carry you if you keep running away from me? How can I carry you if you keep running away from me? Stephen said, I think I stopped walking for a second and wonder if God ever says the exact same thing. We want God to protect, shelter, guide, and carry. But we're not always so good at actually stepping aside to let him do those things. We try to find our security in anything other than God, money, food, power, sex, greed, education, friends, entertainment, business. We try again and again to make little gods before the true God and end up ever further from where we need to be going. We keep running in the wrong direction and refuse to be carried. Wow, how true. How true. When you cry out in the struggles of life, why? Remember, it's not wrong to ask God why. And I encourage you to describe in detail why you say why. And deepen your commitment to Almighty God. One of my favorite passages regarding this whole matter is Habakkuk. Listen to these words, Habakkuk. Again, he's a human being. He's a person like you and me. Habakkuk says, though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful for the scriptures. We're thankful for the personalities we see in the scriptures, the Old and New Testament. We're thankful that we see many times the struggles. We see they declare their question in detail sometimes, and they deepen their walk with you. Thank you so much for the scriptures, for the foundation, and for the personalities that we see within those pages. Help us to apply to our own lives. As we go through life, yes, God is good. But sometimes because of our personalities, experiences, and influences of the world, or people we work with, whatever, we sometimes struggle. And I love that where Habakkuk says, though the fig tree does not bear bud, does not bud, and there are no grapes in the vine. So the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food. Though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, and will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer, and enables me to tread on the heights. Father, we want to thank you for your grace. And when we go through struggles, and we think for a day or two, a week, or whatever, may we come back, as it were, to you. And may we never, 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 as many have done, walk away. May you receive all the glory, for we pray in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen.